So where you were flying, Italy is mountainous and it's surrounded by water. So if you had to ditch your B-24, what was it like to ditch the B-24 or land it on water?
Landing a B-24 in water? You ever try and float a concrete boat? The B-24 was a good aeroplane as long as we could keep it all together. B-24 was vulnerable in many ways. And one of the problems you had if you had a ditchy B-24 was to, from a pilot standpoint, was to get out of the cockpit. Because first of all, we're connected with the intercom. We're connected with oxygen. And get out of the cockpit, you have to disconnect yourself from all this stuff. And you don't have much time. I would guess that if you had 1 minute to get out of that cockpit, that was pretty good. It was almost impossible to get out of there. If you, in my position here, I'd have to crawl over a console, and the same thing for the pilot. And yet we would be the last ones to get off the airplane. So it was kind of a death trap, really. And I went to confession quite often.
Good. So one of the things that we have here is a great gift in that we've got someone from the ground perspective, right? Jack Kraszewski was with the 553rd anti-aircraft. And I know, Matt, you had some questions for Jack that you wanted to ask him for us.
Yes, I did. First of all, I have to say that Jack and I had a great conversation backstage before we came out here. And I will... I will add that my Polish mother would be very disappointed to find out that I mispronounced his last name. Jack, did you tell us how long it took between when your unit landed in France in September 1944 until you first saw combat?
Oh, I'd say a couple months.
Okay.
It wasn't too bad then. Once we got into combat, I remember it was in the Netherlands. And it was getting pretty cold when we found a cement factory, and our officers wanted to know who wanted to take a shower. Well, everybody did, because we don't get that too often. Well, anyhow, the weather got cold, the creeks froze, so that was our last shower till spring. Oh. And believe it or not, we all smell the same, so what's the difference, you know? But our job was to guard bridges, convoys, anything that the small bombers and the fighter planes would try to attack. And we were strafed. We were bombed one night only in Holland. It wasn't bombs. It was a thing that lights up everything. They lit up everything around the bridge, and they turned around. They came back, and they were going to blow it up, and boom, 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 bridge was still standing. So that was a good thing. But they would hit us with unmanned bombs. We could hear them. We could see them at night, and we could hear them, and then all of a sudden you'd see a flame of fire, And we watch it. If it's coming close to us, we wouldn't worry. But if it's up coming overhead or nearby, the minute the fire went out, the bomb stopped, they exploded, and they were all shrapnel. So that went on for, I don't know, a couple of months. That wasn't only our place. That's along the whole front, I think. And that was bad. And then when we got across the Rhine River, we dug in and we're sitting there for a couple of weeks. And I figured out, why are we just sitting here? And then after a while, I figured out why. They had to wait for the engineers to bring up their pontoons, because the Germans, when they crossed the bridge, they'd blow a part of it apart. So in order to get across, we had to build the bridges. And under fire, darkness, these superheroes built the pontoon bridges. In a couple of days, we could cross them. But the night of the bombing, the B-17s and B-24s, for 2 hours, they flew over us. I don't know where these planes kept coming from. Then there was a lull till it got dark. All of a sudden, we heard the engines again. Here's the British. They were night bombers, and they came with the Lancasters. And next day, we didn't go, but the tanks went first, the infantry, then the artillery, and then we went across. Across the pontoons, where the water was swift in the Rhine River, I'd say it was 50 yards wide, and these guys built them bridges. So after we got over, there was holes all over, buildings were all smashed, and all the while we go on to our next emplacement, only one shot was fired. We thought it was a sniper, but he didn't get any of us. And then our next battle was the Black Forest. That was not very nice either. They were hiding behind the trees, and we'd shoot the trees and whatever, you know. My job was a gunner. I sit in a turret with 450 caliber machine guns, two on each side, and I could swing this upwards, sideways, all over. That was my job, and that was going along pretty good till in December. All of a sudden, it's kind of lull, and we thought, oh, maybe they're all going to take time off for Christmas. But they formed a big offensive, and they come at us, and they pushed us back miles. And it was snowing, cold, damp, foggy, so our planes couldn't fly. These good boys couldn't fly. But when the weather cleared, they came, and I tell you, they just ripped the heck out of the Germans' machines, everything. So then we had a coast. We coasted till May when the war was over. And I had three happy days. One was when we were going up the front lines and a group was coming back. Well, mind you, there was 6 million of us, all dressed alike, steel helmets, and I'm changing my shoes, socks. We had to move our socks from one foot to the other. And a guy yells, "Hey, Jack!" Guess what? My neighbor from right home. That was the happiest day.